And you know what? It's at times like this, you need someone who knows what they're doing. People often ask, what do you tell people about salvation, about their need for God, their need for Jesus? Well, if you're ever stuck, learn that song. You learn that song and you've got the gospel in the whole presentation. God loves people and he sent Jesus for them. It's my favourite song. Okay, over the last year, we've been looking at growing into a relationship with God, giving into the body of God's family, and going into the community to reach family, friends, work colleagues, and people we meet on a general day-to-day basis. And the reason that these three areas, we've studied them, is because they're important to God. They're in his word, and they are important to him. Now, if Sean just puts this up, I wanted us all to say this prayer together. And sometimes you're thinking, is the message today right, isn't it? And God just throws little things in every now and again just to remind you, yeah, you're on the right track. And John actually got us all to pray this. But we're going to say it again together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus shows us a few things just in this prayer. Our God is a holy God. And God's will for his people is that they will be a holy people, set apart for him, living solely for him, for his glory and for his edification. Angels in heaven sing 24/7, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It's God's desire that we live a holy life and that we search the scriptures, which will enable us to get closer to God, to live a holy life. Jesus talks about, give us this day our daily bread. In John 4, verses 31 to 34, comes after Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. The disciples come up to him and they say, take something to eat, have some food. And Jesus says, I have food that you know nothing about. My food is to do the will of the Father. Jesus is telling us, that's not just food for our bellies. Don't just ask for daily food for our bellies. It's for your daily instructions. God, what do you want me to do today? What tasks do you want me to carry out today? What's God saying, and what are you going to do about it? Jesus is asking us to ask daily, for daily instructions. Even if you haven't heard today, Jesus tells us one thing in this prayer that's very important, and it's very important to him, that we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. If you pray that prayer and you don't forgive, you're actually asking God not to forgive you. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If you're not prepared to forgive, you're actually asking God to say, I don't want your forgiveness, God. All the people I've let down, all the people I've upset, and all the people I've disappointed, do you forgive me? All the people who've let me down, all the people who've upset me and disappointed me, if I don't forgive them, I'm asking God not to forgive me. If I hold a grudge, if I hold anything against anybody, and I won't forgive them, It's not them it's hurting. It's me. I've got to forgive, because that's what that prayer says. Forgive me the way I forgive others. And I don't want to be led into the temptation of unforgiveness. And I certainly want God's protection against the evil one. I want to live under God so as I know I've got that protection. I don't want to walk away from him and end up in deeper trouble. Do you want God's kingdom here? Yes. Here now. It's not something in the future. You can enter God's kingdom today. When you enter in through Jesus Christ, you enter into God's kingdom. Do you want to see God's power and his glory? Yes. Now and forever. Not just in the future, but right now. It comes with growing into God, giving to each other, and forgiving each other. That was part of the giving. Part of the giving series was the whole family ethos. We give to each other, we forgive each other, we move on together. And then we go and we make disciples, showing them that we can live together in unity because God is here with us. And I've lost my verse. In Matthew 28, it talks about us going and making disciples. That's what we're here for. We go, we make disciples, teaching them everything that Jesus taught us, taught the disciples, and that the Bible teaches us. So the question is, with all the teaching over the last year, has it made a difference in your life? Has your life changed over the last year? This is a time I don't need you to tell me, but you need to think in your own heart and in your own mind and be honest with yourself. Has it made a difference? Do you feel closer to God from when we did the growing series? Do you feel closer to each other after the giving series? And do you feel closer to the community after the going series? In the last year, have you grown closer to God? Or have you stayed the same? Or do you feel further away? Over the last year, do you feel closer to each other? Do you feel the same? Or do you feel further away? Over this last year, do you feel closer to the community, the same, or further away? If in your heart you're answering the same or further away, then you've got to ask yourself, why? What is it that's made you not get closer to God, not get closer to each other, and not get closer to the community of lost people who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? Has something happened to make you drift away? Has something happened that's turned you away from God, fellowship, or wanting to share your faith? Has something happened that's made you withdraw from the things that once made you passionate, that you were passionate about, and now that passion's gone? And as we get older in our faith, I can say this because I'm a bit older now, we find ways of hiding the truth in ourselves. We can put a mask on and portray that everything's fine and everything's going fine. But deep down, we know we're not where we should be. We put a face on. We know the right things to say. We know when to say them. But do we pray the way we used to? Do we read the Bible the way we used to? And do we avoid fellowship? Do we avoid close contact? Small group isn't important anymore. It's quite uncomfortable, so I won't go. Sunday, I've got something else I could be doing, so I'll go and do that instead, because I might have to answer those awkward questions. I've got a little illustration to help me try and illustrate this, and Barry's going to come and help me. Quite often, when we get bound up, it doesn't happen overnight. It happens slowly, because Barry can't move the key quick enough. And what happens is, we end up bound up. The problem is, quite often, we don't realize that we're falling into it. We don't realize that we're getting bound up. And before we know it, we're shackled. And the problem is, we get comfortable with it. We end up comfortable when we're chained up. Maybe not so comfortable.
Is that too tight?
That's okay. It's part of the showmanship. So as we're saying, quite often it isn't instant. You don't realise it instantly. And quite often we don't even realise it ourselves. But other people do. So we end up bound up, just like these handcuffs. I may be chained, but I can still shake your hand. Can't clap though. It's very awkward trying to hug people, trying to get close to people. I can shake your hand and be superficial, but it is awkward. I'm bound and something's stopping me from showing affection. I can't show the affection that I once showed because I can't get my arms around anybody. People can come and try to hug me, but I can't reciprocate. I can raise my hands and praise God, but something's stopping me from clapping. I can't clap and show appreciation to God for what he's done for me. I can't do it. I can open my Bible, and I can read Psalm 47. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. So I read passages like that in the Bible. But can I show appreciation by clapping my hands? I can't, because something binds me. Galatians 5, I can still read this. I can go, I can turn. It's awkward, and it's messy, but I can do it. When I need to do it, when I need to put on a face. I mightn't do it at home, but I can do it when people are watching me. It's awkward, but I can do it. I can read Galatians 5 from verse 13. But if you... I need them glasses as well. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentious, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share it in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of his flesh reap corruption. But he who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Paul's writing to Christians. He's not writing to the world. He's writing to Christians. Be on your guard. Everyone who has accepted Jesus as Lord and Saviour receives the Holy Spirit, the fuel that drives us. Nobody puts fuel in a car, spends all that expense, and then doesn't switch the engine on and goes walking instead. If you're going to use your car, you fill it up with petrol and you use it. If you want to belong to Jesus, you get filled up with the Holy Spirit and you walk with him. If we choose to walk in the flesh, we will become legalistic. The things that bound us before salvation, they'll bind us again. If we don't walk in the Spirit, if we walk away from God and we don't listen to him, we will end up doing the things we did before. Jesus talked about that, didn't he? When he said, you can clean the house out, but if you don't fill it with the Holy Spirit, seven more worse things will come and take occupation. The things that bound us once before we became Christians, selfish ambition, control and manipulation, negativity, gossip, the attitude of nothing is good enough, and it goes on, and it goes on. Book of Revelation, chapter 3, warns the seven churches. He knows you, and he knows your works. God knows each one of us. He knows our works. He knows the good, he knows the bad, and he knows the ugly. He knows it all. Whether you put a face on or not, God knows it. Can't hide it from him. Neither hot nor cold. It's a curse of the Western church at the moment. Apathy. Doesn't matter anyway. Doesn't really matter if I don't go to church. I'm saved anyway. Doesn't matter if I don't read my Bible. I'm saved anyway. It doesn't matter if I don't tell people out there that they need Jesus, because I'm saved anyway. But Jesus paid the price. If Jesus truly is Lord, it does matter. If Jesus truly is the Lord of your life, then it does matter. Who or what is first in your life? Apathy says, I can passionately follow my football team, but don't ask me to show passion in the church. I will jump out of my seat. I'll stand on my seat and jump up and down when my team scores a goal. I will get passionate about a wrong decision given against my team. If the referee makes a mistake and my team suffers, I will shout and I will scream. Don't ask me to worship God in the same manner. Don't ask me to defend God when I walk into work and someone uses the name of Jesus in a profane manner. Don't expect me to get upset about that, because I've got to show a little bit of grace and a little bit of piety. No. If someone uses the name of Jesus in a wrong manner, then you give a penalty against my team and the fellow's blatantly dived, I get upset. You use the name of Jesus in the wrong manner, then I get upset, because he's my Lord and he's my Saviour and he's my friend. If I went into work and someone started saying, I met a fellow today and they started calling one of you, I'd defend you. I wouldn't let them get away with that. Don't speak about my friends like that. It's the same when they use the name of Jesus in the wrong manner. Isn't it funny that we can give more to the team, more allegiance and affection to the football team that wouldn't even die for us? Jesus died for us. We give Jesus second best. The same goes for our career, our leisure, pastures, families and friends. Although families and friends may die for you, but they can't save you. Jesus said, who comes first? What are you prepared to give up for me? See, I can get away with it, but it's a struggle. Things that bind us, they will make us stumble eventually. What about computer games? People may get consumed with computer games, so much so that they don't have time to read their Bible. Fill in your own blank. What is it in your life that takes you away from God? That takes you away from reading your Bible, praying? Apathy says, if I don't get too involved, I won't get hurt. If it becomes too much, I can just walk away. Because apathy means you just don't care. Apathy means you don't put Jesus first. We attach conditions to God. If you do this, I'll do that. Some Christians even expect a trouble-free life. No pain, no suffering. If you're ever ill, it's a lack of faith. I've heard that before. It's a lack of faith that you're not healed. Paul asked 3 times to be healed, but then realized that the affliction was going to stay, and he moved on with it. People act as if they don't receive what they want. It affects their relationship with God. Don't let situations shackle you, and don't blame God. I once had an inner ear infection, and it gave me acute vertigo. And for 5 days, I couldn't move. I vomited every time I moved, even to go to the toilet. But I tell you what, in that time, God spoke to me so much. He said, now I've got your attention. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to know. This is what you need to get rid of. This is the attitudes that aren't right. Because for 5 days, I just sat, I lay there with my head on the pillow, and God had my full attention. When we face difficulty, we have an answer. The poem that Sue read, we've got an answer. Jesus is there. He wants to help. He wants to take care, and he wants to take all the burdens away. He wants to remove the shackles. Sometimes, though, when the apathy sets in, we even forget why we're in church. Why are we here? Are we here to meet with our friends? Are we here because it's comfortable? Are we here because the people are friendly? Or are we here to worship the true and living God? That's what Sunday morning's about. It's connecting with God and letting God know how much we appreciate him for what he's done for us in the past week and what he's going to do for us in the week ahead. We come and we learn more and more about our Saviour as we worship and honour him. So God sent Jesus to save us because he loves us and he doesn't want us bound up. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us. Jesus went to the cross because he loves us. He gave us his all for us. So the question is, do we give our all for him? If not, I'm not telling you that you've got to read your Bible and you've got to pray every day. But what I would say is, you should want to. We should want to do that because we want to be in a relationship with God and we want to find out more and more about him. When we do read the Bible and when we do pray, we identify the chains that bind us and bring them to Jesus and ask for help. Jesus came and he died on the cross and he broke every chain that can bind any person. There is no circumstance, there is no sin, there is no guilt, no shame that is attached to our lives that can't be broken. There's nothing that we need to hold on to because Jesus paid the price. He went to the cross and he did it once for all. His blood covers every sin. He rose again on the third day to prove that he had power over sin, death, and everything that binds you. He has power over it. There's no stronghold, no chains that Jesus can't overcome. We all know this, but to be walking it, we don't, do we? Sometimes we just put up with it because the chains are comfortable. We don't have to put up with it because Jesus died on the cross. Sean, he's already done it. He's ahead of me. Jesus died on the cross and he died to take these off once and for all. I've got them on as an illustration. How many of us have got them around our heart? How many of us are shackled? And all we need to do is come to Jesus, worship the true and living God, and then get rid of them. You don't need them. Two people are involved in that process. You, as an individual, and Jesus. You bring them to Jesus, he'll get rid of them. You won't do it on your own. He's the only one who can get rid of them, but you have to ask. I know I have to ask sometimes. Things that start building up in my life and I'm thinking, someone said something to upset me. I started overplaying in my mind. And before I know it, the chains are on. The shackles are there. Even leave scars like Brian was singing about before. But tell you what, I'd rather have the scars than the shackles. And Jesus is the one who can take them away. So when the worship group come today and they play now in a moment, the first thing I'm going to do is ask John to pray for me to make sure that those shackles are gone. We stand with each other and we pray and we get rid of these shackles. Now, I'd invite people to come forward and be prayed for. Now, I'm not saying you come up and you confess everything, but if you know there's things in your life that really are binding you up, stopping you from going on, they could be good things. You might be working 24/7 in the church, but it's stopping you from getting closer to God because you're working, working, working. We don't need you to come forward and tell us what the problem is. Just come forward and acknowledge that Jesus can do something for you today. And we'll pray with you. The elders will come forward and pray for you. Because we want people to change. This time next year, we want people to say, yeah, we have changed, we've moved forward, and we have grown. Amen. Right.